Well, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about rebuilding the church and getting back together on Wednesday nights. And we're kind of going to continue that. And my message title today is Renovating the Church. Adonijah mentioned, man, we got to keep the things on, keep the lights on and the AC going and all that stuff. So today's message is titled Renovating the Church. It's not quite what you think, though. So I want you to listen carefully as we talk about it today. And we talked about Haggai, and he told the people, I've made a covenant with you, and I've made this promise, and because of that, I will hold my word. And he told them, do not fear, do not be afraid, be strong. And he told the people, work. Work. That didn't sit right with someone, I guess. But we have to work. And why did he say, do these things and do not fear and be strong and work? And he told them, for I am with you. And we have to know, Vade, as you mentioned, you know, we may be going through things, but he is a good, good father. A good father disciplines his children. And so when we go through things, that may be part of a discipline. It may just be that things that he says, you have to go through this so that I can grow you or so that I can be glorified through your pain and suffering and your overcoming and or the end result. And hopefully it's our testimony and our sharing with other people. We're going through this. We've been through this. And we came out on top. Man, you came out on top. Well, you don't understand. So you may not look at it from the worldly side that I came out on top, but I came out with God on my side. So I came out on top. Amen? Turn in your Bibles to Nehemiah. Nehemiah, and we'll just start out in chapter 1, and we'll really be bouncing through that fairly quickly today. But remember, God said in Haggai when they were rebuilding the temple, I am with you. And the people had the stench of sin on them, if you will. And the sin had to be erased. And people had to come to a point of repentance for them. They had to return to the Lord. And it's the same thing in Nehemiah. Same thing, actually, I was talking with Josh and Nikki about our Ground Zero messages. And we just keep cycling through these things in life. And through the history of the Bible, we cycle through these things. And remember in Haggai, I love this. He said, is the seed still where? Is the seed still in the barn? And I asked you as a church, is the seed still in the barn? The people rebuilt the house of God, and God blessed it when they were done. And so as we look at rebuilding or renovating the church today, I want to ask you guys or tell you guys, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Amen. We will what? We will rejoice. Look at your neighbor and say, it's okay to rejoice today. It is okay to rejoice no matter what we're going through. And that's an internal thing that God gives us when we belong to Him. And I'm excited about that. So, when we look at renovation, one of the things that Josh and Nikki and I are trying to do with the teens is unclutter the Bible. We've got these fancy words and we have these different things. So I talk about renovating the church today. Okay, great. How can we associate that to what we're talking about? Some people are just confused. What does it mean to renovate? Well, I did you a favor and I looked it up. Renovate means to restore to a good state of repair. I like that they put in there to a good state. To restore to a good state of repair, to refresh, to reinvigorate. Dang it, we got another complicated word, reinvigorate. What does it mean to invigorate? That means to give strength or energy to. The church needs strength and energy. It needs reinvigorating. The church needs that. The church needs restoration, refreshing, renewed strength. The church needs renewed and refreshed energy. Amen? Now let me ask you, what church do you think I'm talking about? This building? No. Who is the church? We are. Man, we need restoration. We need refreshing. We need renewed strength. We need renewed energy. How many people could use at least one of those areas today? Yes, we need renewed energy and strength. to get around. We need refreshing. Some of us, just where we are, we need restoration. We need to be rebuilt and remodeled, redone, refreshed. And renovation and restoration, it usually comes from a vision or a prayer or a passion. Now, Eric and I, we're not just big babies and don't cry for the sake of crying. Okay? We get emotional about things that we're passionate about. Now, that doesn't mean that you all cry when you're passionate about something, but that's how Eric and I do it. And when we're passionate about something, when we hit something, it hits a chord with us, we get emotional. And sometimes it comes out of nowhere. Man, I did a baby dedication for my grandson. I was so proud. I got through it, hadn't cried in that last paragraph. Boop. Nope, there I went. And what got me about it was that I asked the church to help Austin and Michaela raise that child. And you see, it's not just that we have a responsibility as parents and grandparents, but church, that we have a responsibility and obligation to the people that come into this church as well, and for each other that we sit next to. And that's what got me. So Nehemiah was passionate about this. So Nehemiah chapter 1, and he talked to someone that had been to Jerusalem, and he asked basically, hey, how's it going down there? And they said, this is around verse 3 of chapter 1 in Nehemiah. And basically the survivors said, they said, the survivors of those that were able to escape, they are in what? Great distress and reproach. And the wall is broken and the gates have been burned. And this broke Nehemiah's heart. And he said he sat down and he wept and he mourned for many days. He said he fasted and prayed in verse 4. It bothered him. He was in another place, but it bothered him to hear about his old place. And he took time to sit and reflect on this. And he cried and he mourned. He was sorrowful about what had happened. And for many days he fasted and prayed. Church, we should be sad like that and brokenhearted when people leave. Not when they leave the church, but when they leave God. People leave the church for different reasons, but when they leave God, that's what should break our heart. Oh man, they turned away. They left. They went away. Nehemiah got permission to go back and restore the wall. He ran into some challenges. In chapter 2, and again, I'm flipping through this very quickly, but in chapter 2, verse 20, the people were mocking him, they were despising him, or all the workers, and they were laughing at him. But look what his response was in chapter 2, verse 20. He said, so I answered them, and I said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build, but you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. He didn't say, because of our hard work, we're going to be successful and we're going to get this done. But he said, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. God allows us to prosper. In the New Testament, it tells us, do not boast in yourself, but boast in the Lord. And that's exactly what he's doing here. God himself will prosper us, not because of our own work, our own deeds, our own hands, our own efforts. And in spite of trying to rebuild, as we talked with our youth the other day, some of them said, we have to worry about what other people say about us. Oh, you're one of those church folks. Oh. And they have to go through and they have to endure that. Nehemiah did the same thing when he went back and tried to rebuild his town and the wall. Throughout chapter 3, families built and rebuilt certain areas of the wall, certain areas of the city. In chapter 3, verse 28, flip over there. And it said each house was doing their own thing. And in verse 28, it says, beyond the horse gate, the priest made repairs each in front of his own house. As we talk about renovating the church, and we're the church, and we have to refresh and restore and reinvigorate. Man, sometimes we have to take care of ourselves, and we have to restore ourselves, and we can get so busy trying to restore other people, but we kind of forget about ourselves and hope maybe our work towards them will cover up some of our need for restoration. But he said, each one did it in front of his own home. We have to restore our own home, our own life, our own faith walk, whatever that is. You know, it's like the seed that's dropped on the various types of ground. That's our faith walk as well. Man, are we in a stony ground? Are we bouncing around, hobbling all over? Is it smooth? Are we stuck in the rut? Are we off in the weeds? I don't know how to get back on the road. I'm just stuck in this mud here. In chapter 4, different types of enemies, plural, come up. There's more than one enemy. You may face the devil himself, but then you've got to face the enemy that's in front of you, your neighbor, your family, whatever it is. And I say the enemy, your family shouldn't be your neighbor, but they can be like enemies if they're attacking you. Chapter 4, verse 19 through 23. And it says, then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Anyone in the last year feel far and separated from other members of the house of God? We are separated far from one another on the wall. But wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. And every now and then, we have to sound the alarm. We have to blow the trumpet. We have to say, I'm in trouble. And as a church, we need to be able to rally around those people. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. Sometimes we want to do the fighting, and God says, no, I've got this, but I need you all to rally here, and I will do the fighting. I will do the battle for you. If you guys will come here, if you'll join together in prayer, I'll come and I'll do the work. But don't shove me out of the way and try and take credit for it on your own. So we labored in the work, and half of the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. At the same time, I also said to the people, let each man and his servant stay at night in Jerusalem, that they may be our guard by night and a working party by day. So neither I, my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off their clothes, except that everyone took them off for washing only. They had a mission. They had to be vigilant, and they had to press on, and they had to press through it. And they had to continue working to get this done. Now flip over to chapter 6. In chapter 6, we read that the work was completed. Chapter 6, verse 16. And it said, and it all happened when the wall was finished, when all our enemies heard of it, and all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. When we go to God to fight our battle, and He prevails, the enemy sees that, the enemy knows that, and the enemy gets very disheartened, like, dang it, God won again. Satan, zero. God won again. That means, okay, the score's a bazillion to zero. But we have to go fight the battle with one another, join together in prayer. And then he says, I'll be there and I'll do the battle. You join together, though, go and support me while I do the work, basically, is what he's saying. The wall's completed. When our work is done, the enemy is defeated, and the enemy is very disheartened. They get upset about that. Now we go on in chapter 8, 7 and 8, when I did my study in Wednesday night Bible study. That was, you know, a chapter we just kind of blew on through because it had some things that weren't as exciting as the rest of it. But chapter 9, the people confess their sins. And it said in verse 1 of chapter 9 in Nehemiah, it says, "Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and sackcloth and with dust on their heads. Then those of Israelite lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and confessed their sins and their iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in the place and read from the book of the law of the Lord, their God, 1/4 of the day." Now, I'm not saying we need to join all together and stand together and confess our sins and our father's sins and all that. But I am saying, children of God, it's important we confess our sins and we repent of our sins. That is necessary. And then as we read, flip over to chapter 12, near the end of this. In chapter 12, it says, Nehemiah dedicates the wall. And it says, "Now at the dedication of the wall," in verse 27 of chapter 12, "Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and singing, with cymbals and stringed instruments and harps. And the sons of the singers gathered together from the countryside around Jerusalem, from the villages of the from the house of Gilgal and from the fields." And it says they dedicated. Once the work was done, they dedicated it and they set it apart. And they said, "We've got to be sure that we dedicate this place, this wall, this town for God." They set guards at the gates again. The walls were back up for their protection again. And they went through the thing. So as we talk about renovating the church and renovating ourselves, the first thing we have to have is just time where we're sitting down, just like Nehemiah did. And he sat down and he cried and he mourned and he prayed and he fasted. We've got to have a point that says we're sitting down and just praying, "God, look at this temple and tell me, what do you want me to do to renovate it? To restore it, to refresh it, to re-energize it? God, what is it that you want me to do?" Now imagine if the wall was broken down for Nehemiah, there was a good portion of having to remove the rubble. Where am I going with that, guys? We've got to remove things from our life that are stumbling blocks, that are in our path to get where we're going, where God wants us to go. And we simply have to remove the rubble from our lives. So that comes first in renovation, a vision or a prayer. Somehow that comes from God and he says, "Man, I'm going to give you this vision of what I want." You're praying, "God, what do you want me to do?" And he answers. And then we listen and then we do it. There's a call to action. Nehemiah said, "Oh, Lordy, okay, God, I guess I'm the one, God, that you said has to carry this burden. So I've got to go talk to someone and see if I can go back there and stir up the town to bring it back to its old glory." Whether it's a call to ministry or a call to lead or a call to teach or a call to serve, there's a call to action and we have to answer that. Then once Nehemiah got back there, then he had to build a plan. But then what had to happen? The work had to start. Oh, I've just been walking around or walking over these boulders in the pathway, in the streets. You mean now I've got to work and break that up and haul it off and clean it up? That's one of the hardest things for Christians to grow their faith and to press on. Lord, I prayed. What would you have me do? Did the Lord not answer? Yeah, he answered. What's the problem? Well, it just cuts into my nothing time, and it's going to take this, and I've got to put forth effort. And we say, it's not worth it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to answer that call. It's just, it's too much. And one of the things that's hard to do to be passionate to other people, it's hard to do because it takes effort and it takes work. It gets us out of our comfort zone. It gets us out of our relaxation zone, whatever it is. But at some point, the work has to start. In renovating ourselves, the work has to start. And we have to say, Lord, help give me the strength. Give me the boldness to take that first step, even. Some people they just can't get out the door. Then comes the battle. Lord, I took that first step. And as soon as I walked out the door, Lord, there was the enemy standing there saying, you're not good enough. Who do you think you are? Oh, you think in here it says something about being a new creation. Second Corinthians 5:17, you don't have to turn there, but it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, and we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Here's the problem. We are a new creation. The old things have passed away. They're down there. But man, we go through all kinds of effort to stop, bend down, pick up the old self, and throw it back on our back. We have to fight the enemy, and that battle is hard sometimes, and it's real sometimes. Or it's real all the time. It's hard sometimes, and it's real. Beta, thank you for your words today, you know, just talking about no matter what we go through. You and Dale are Christians. Great, you've been Christians a long time. Life must have been easy all that time. Pastor Eric and Kisha, been Christians a long time. Life must have been easy that whole time. No, there's challenges for every one of us. Josh and Nikki, a young couple in love there. Just graduated college for Josh. And Nikki says, hi. Life must be easy. No challenges. You're young. Getting ready to leave us and move. You and Rex have been married a long time. No challenges there. By the way, we're going to miss you when you go. Still here for a few weeks, but we're going to miss you. Disease has come and gone. No challenges. Divorce has come and gone. No challenges. Of course, there's challenges every day. But if we respond to the call of action, if we spend time in prayer, if we work hard, if we fight the enemy and the enemies daily, if we respond appropriately, Nehemiah, he responded, said, man, God is going to help us finish this thing. He's on our side. Complete the work. The New Testament tells us, run the race and finish it strong. And there's a time to repent. And then there's a time to dedicate your work. The church needs renovating, amen? And we need it often. Not the physical building necessarily, but us. And when we come together in fellowship, we're able to lift one another up sometimes, and that's the refreshment that they need. Maybe that's the renewed energy they need. Just somebody saying, hey, it's good to see you today. By the way, the person that said that may not want to be here today, but they came here and they said that to you, and it gave you that breath of fresh air. And you're like, oh, okay, I do matter. And someone is glad to see me. We need it, and we need it often. Respond to God's call on your life, to his prompting in your life, to your passion. Take responsibility. Don't complain that the Lord, my goodness, Lord, why haven't you provided a beautiful, bountiful harvest for me when you left your seed in the barn? Well, the neighbor's garden is just flourishing. Yeah, did you see him go out and plant their seed? They pulled it out of the barn. They planted. By the way, they were out there. You ever see those people that have the beautiful garden? You almost don't like them. You're so jealous of them. But you see them out there all the time pulling one weed by hand. And they're weeding their garden constantly. They're fertilizing it. They're watering it. They're weeding it. They are tending to their garden. They're working hard and taking responsibility for their seed that they've been given. And we've all been given a seed. Get your seed today. Get it out of the barn and plant it today. Amen? Let's bow our heads before we do our baby dedication today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word today, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to renovate ourselves, Lord, to bring renewal to ourselves. Lord, we thank you for the work that it takes just to start this. Lord, we know that we need strength to do it. We know that we need energy to do it. You just to give us that strength and that energy and that boldness to push through it. Lord, for those that have the seed in the barn still, we pray today that they walk out and they get that seed. They retrieve it, they plant it, they water it, they weed the garden, or they fertilize it, they tend it daily. Lord, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.